Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. We have an audit coming for the Pentagon, and that's going to be a freaking doozy. If they're going to audit everything in this government, woo boy, it's just going to be story after story of corruption for the next 4 years. But this hour, we're going to talk about that whole Gaza thing. Employment. Some guy's doing well at work. Wants to give me some props for that. That's always lovely. Some guy's wife is afraid about Donald Trump. We're going to talk about the strike, the workers' strike, the dock workers, all that. Smoke alarm batteries and so much more coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. The UN is very, very concerned about AIDS in Africa.
We have 5,000 public health worker contracts that are funded by U.S. assistance, and all of these in all regions of Ethiopia have been terminated. And 10,000 data clerks, very important in Ethiopia, so that we continue monitoring and ensuring that people are on treatment. So as UNAIDS, we estimate that if PEPFAR wasn't reauthorized between 2025 and 2029 and other resources were not found for the HIV response, there would be a 400% increase in AIDS death. That's 6.3 million people, 6.3 million AIDS-related deaths that will occur.
Did you know? I mean, we all kind of know some of this stuff generally, but did you know that you went to work today and the government stuck its greedy hands in your wallet and took 25% of your earnings today so they could send it for AIDS treatments in Africa? We had this talk before. Republicans are certainly guilty of this as well. Republicans and Democrats both have got to wake up and realize that there is something that has changed in the minds of the American public. Because for so long, for as long as I've been alive, really, this country has been so wealthy and our standard of living has been so good. And we really, I know there have been some bumps in the road, of course, and in your personal life, maybe you've had some bumps in the road. But as a nation, on a macro level as a whole, we've just always had so much. Our standard of living was so high and things went so well. And during that time, the federal government, because we citizens were living so well, the federal government found its foreign aid legs, if you will. It found that it could hoover up our money and send it here and send it there and send it to this thing and send it to that thing. And it could do so without end. And the American people may raise a little bit of a fuss every now and then. But for the most part, we're not really going to dig into that or kick and scream or anything like that. So years and years and years, decades of the federal government figuring out ways to take our money and send it anywhere they want to send it. As I warned before, Republicans and Democrats, the American people now, they have watched their standard of living go down pretty steadily over the last few years. We've talked about this before. I just saw today, I think it was from Numbers USA, that during Joe Biden's presidency, 4.7 million jobs went to foreigners. Something like 600,000 went to American citizens. American citizens can't find good work. American citizens are suffering from inflation. American citizens are having to make buying decisions still in the grocery store. And so that understanding from the American public about our money going overseas, even if we didn't like it, it didn't create this red-hot anger in any of us. That changes now. It has already changed. And the government, the politicians and the bureaucrats in the government, they'll be behind on that. and they don't realize there's no appetite for it. It's one of the things that makes the Democrat protests over the U.S. aid cuts, DOGE cuts, it's one of the things that makes them so hilarious to me. Now, you and I both know why they're freaking out. They're freaking out because, in a roundabout way, communists get their money from these government programs. This cut out and that cut out and that cut out, and it ends up funding a Black Lives Matter protest on the street. So that's why Democrats are upset. But freaking out about it in front of the American people is not going to move the needle at all. I realize your fellow congressmen and senators and your fellow communist activists, oh, I know they're upset about U.S. aid. I get all that. But the norms and normas in the world, what are they looking at right now? Try to take off your hyper-informed hat. I realize you're a hyper-informed person, but take that off and try to just pretend you're a norm. You're a normie. You're looking right now at the Trump administration talking about auditing the Pentagon. Pete Hegseth auditing this. Elon Musk is auditing that. And what are they finding? They're finding government corruption and waste. And they're bringing that information to the American public. They're bringing it to the American public. If you're a norm and you're looking at that, are you upset when they bring up these list of ridiculous things that your money has gone to? Are you upset when you hear Caroline Leavitt talk about this?
So upon coming out here to the briefing room, I was made aware of the funding from USAID to media outlets, including Politico, who I know has a seat in this room. And I can confirm that the more than 8 million taxpayer dollars that have gone to essentially subsidizing subscriptions to Politico on the American taxpayer's dime will no longer be happening. The DOGE.
Now, set aside your feelings for Politico, because remember, you're a norm. Does the American voter, the norm, the normie, does he like or hate that $8 million of his money has gone towards any newspaper, any publication of any kind? Is that a winner for him? He hates that. Every voter, every taxpayer hates that. Democrats are now defending that publicly and loudly. They're acting like it's the end of the world that we're not going to send AIDS medication to Africa anymore. And instead, we have this collective Democrat freakout. What does this look like to the normies when the Trump government is cutting out ridiculousness? And this is the Democrat response.
Elon Musk is a Nazi nepo baby, a godless, lawless billionaire.
Hey, hey, ho, ho. Elon Musk has got to go.
We will not shut up. We will stand up. We will speak up.
Who the does Musk think he is?
We have got to tell Elon Musk nobody elected your.
We are going to fight this fight.
Yeah. Jesse, you're right up my alley. Next time you're in Salt Lake, look me up. I've been in Israel many times. I love Trump's idea about developing it. I've stayed at many Four Seasons in the Middle East, and I bet Four Seasons, Ritz-Carlton, all the great hotels would love to have an awesome beachfront property. The Mediterranean right there is absolutely beautiful, so on and so forth. He said, I took my 12-year-old on a coming-of-age trip there, and it was absolutely epic. Man, that's freaking cool. I got to take my boys there, too. That's cool. Like I said, keep up the good work, so on and so forth. Okay, so I'm not going to dwell on this, but I thought about that. I've been thinking about this Gaza thing. And at this point in time, like I said, I think Trump has earned the benefit of the doubt so far, at least over the first few weeks, really, really doing well. I mean, got Canada in line, got Mexico in line. He's getting people in line. It sounds like Trump has announced the plan is to remove the Palestinians from Gaza and then develop it, turn it into, which it would obviously, it would really only be good for a vacation spot, but it could be a wonderful vacation spot. Now, let me ask you something. Just honestly asking. You're picturing the Four Seasons Gaza. It's kind of funny, but it's not outside of the realm of possibility. You took all those people in Gaza and you shipped them, because they got to go somewhere. You shipped them to Jordan. You shipped them to Egypt. They're talking to Ireland. They're trying to ship these people all over the place. Do you think they'll stop being radicalized if they go to Egypt? Or are they going to end up in a camp or some sort of a ghetto in Egypt where it's poor and it's miserable? Okay, so let's just assume they're going to be radicalized. Let's assume you're a Palestinian who's been removed from Gaza and you've been getting angrier and angrier and angrier in Egypt. And 5 years from now, you pull up your smartphone and you see there's a grand opening of the new Four Seasons right on the beach in what you consider to be your rightful homeland. How long until one of those dirtballs parks a truck bomb in front of one of those hotels? Have you considered what a security nightmare that would be? You would have to lock that place down with the most draconian laws in the world. And even then, I don't look, just telling you, it's not going to stop being a hotbed because you built the Four Seasons. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about that strike, the dock worker strike, and more. Before we get to that, let me tell you about the greatest freaking blender ever. What setting do you use for your blender? I know what setting I use on the obliterator. None. It has AutoSense technology. It knows what setting it needs to blend what you need. It's the only reason I get that disgusting superfood smoothie and down my gullet. It is the Obliterator premium blender without dropping hundreds of dollars on it, and it looks good. I know that sounds dumb because I don't care how it looks, but Ob sure does. She won't keep stuff on the kitchen counter that doesn't look good. The Obliterator looks great, and now they let you save money. They weren't doing this before. Now you can save 15% on one. Chefman.com, Chefman.com. Promo code Jesse saves you 15% on an obliterator. Perfect gift for the wife. Valentine's Day is coming up. Chefman.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, a wonderful Friday. I can't get the smile off my face. Everything is going so well. Trump got up today with Japan's big cheese, announced $1 trillion coming our way, jobs coming our way. It's looking good out here. Jesse, I was listening back in October. You were discussing the upcoming strike by the dock workers. I know there was a pause in the strike that was supposed to be over in January. I haven't heard any updates. Wondered if you heard anything lately, says his name is Mike. Okay, so here's what's going on with the dock worker stuff. There, remember, there were two big challenges. Big challenges. And let me remind you that it's very instinctively, if you're on the right, instinctively you are going to be against unions. I understand that. So whenever you see there's going to be the longshoremen union, they're gonna go on strike. Your instinct is going to be to side against them every time. But remember this: we had all those experts on. We talked about this extensively, you and I. It's not necessarily a story where there are good guys and bad guys. Yes, they had that. Remember that big meathead who runs the union? He ran his fat mouth off right off the bat and made them look like the bad guys, but they're not necessarily the bad guys. What's happened is for years and years and years, remember, there's a Western and there's an Eastern Union. The Eastern Union has not been paid what the Western Union has been paid. That was a huge gripe, but maybe the biggest gripe. And there are all kinds of different entities involved here, shipping entities, government entities. But whatever the reason, the Eastern Union has not kept pace with the Western Union's pay scale. That was one of the two major gripes. The second major gripe was about automation. Now, that brings us to the issue. Trump is the most pro-union president we've had in years, decades, honestly, really. He's, again, like I've said, he's very much a Teddy Roosevelt Republican. He's not new. It's back to what the Republican Party was at one point in time. Very much a pro-union guy. You remember he was the Teamsters Union. Famously, they didn't even endorse during the presidential campaign. That never happens. The Teamsters Union always goes Democrat, and this time, them abstaining is them endorsing the Republican. That's as close as they're going to come to endorse a Republican. So, again, Trump is going to lean that way. He's always been that type of guy. He's going to lean that way. The last I talked to somebody, because I actually talked to a few people who are in that union, as a matter of fact, just blue collar dudes.
the pay thing was something that was going to get worked out. And they always thought it was going to get worked out. Eventually, when you're in these kind of negotiations with a bunch of big entities, how it works is you don't get every dime you're looking for, but you do. This guy gives up a pound of his flesh, and this guy gives up a pound of his flesh, and you get close enough to the number you want, and everyone gets kind of made whole, and you sign off on it. Believe it or not, the money oftentimes in these things is the easy part of it. The part that won't be easy is this part right here, the automation part of it. This gets into a very interesting conversation because it applies to much more than just a union or the docks, or it applies to just humanity, really. If you're an employer, if you're a company, your job is to make money. That's your job. That's the purpose of the company. You as an individual, hopefully you have a higher calling of some kind than that, but the purpose of the company is to make money. And for a company, any company, large or small, the local mom and pop sandwich shop or some gigantic shipping company, no matter what, you have to look at what's coming in and what's going out. And labor costs are always costs that you're trying to figure out how to reduce. You just are. Hey, do we have too many employees? If we have 4 employees at the sandwich shop, can we get by with 3? It'd be nice to, if you lose to having to pay that other money out, that's more money coming in. That's just basic business. You don't like hearing that when you're one of the employees. I'm an employee just like you are, but that's the truth. And that's why I've always told you, in fact, we're going to get to this employment stuff. That's why I've always told you, really the number one rule for being an employee is to make sure your talent outweighs your baggage, because your manager, the owner of your business, no matter who he or she happens to be, they are constantly looking for a way to reduce the labor costs. And when they get to you and think about you, what you don't want is them to think, oh, I could really do without Bob. What you want them to think is, gosh, man, Bob's pretty dynamite. Well, he's not going anywhere. I can't live without him. That's what you want them to say. So anyway, employers want to reduce costs. Loading, unloading ships, I am the furthest thing from an expert. I do know some friends that are extreme experts on it. I'm good friends with neighbors with one of the guys who handles a lot of the ship piloting down in Galveston at the port. So I know a lot of friends who know a lot. I do not, but I know a lot who do. It's a complicated process. Getting those ships in, getting them docked, getting them unloaded, then loading them back up again. And it's labor intensive. It takes a lot of guys, a lot of organization to get it done right. Companies want to move to automation as much as possible. For the cost savings, for the computer you programmed to do what that guy used to do, he never calls in sick, right? The automation is going to be an issue. It is. Because guys understandably don't want to be automated out of their jobs. Companies understandably want to automate if they can. This is a conflict that will go well beyond some union. This is one of the conflicts of our time. Technology crowding employees out. That's where it sits. And that's going to be a mountain to climb. But there are so many good employees out there looking for work. And they're all on ZipRecruiter. They're waiting for you. If you're an employee, you know where you are. There's a reason employers prefer ZipRecruiter the most. Why would you prefer that? Because the good employees are sitting there waiting for you. You don't have to wait a week. You don't have to wait a month. 80% of the employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a good candidate the first day. You're just starting your account away from getting somebody good. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse lets you try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. That's where the good people are. So if you haven't automated them out, you can go find some good ones at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. All right, this guy's wife is terrified about Trump. Talk about smoke alarms, positions of power in the government. How do we get them? Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, churning through the Ask Dr. Jesse questions today. Here's a nice little tidbit here from WikiLeaks. 9 out of 10 USA dollars spent in 2022 went to contractors, mostly in the D.C. area. Less than 1 in 10 went to frontline groups. Curious what that looks like? Allow me to read this for you. According to the June 2023 report, nearly 9 out of every $10 that USAID spent in the 2022 fiscal year went to its international contracting partners, most of which are based in or around the Washington, D.C. area. Just 1 in 10 went to frontline, local groups, and maybe even less than that. According to our calculations, the $51 billion in USAID tracked by the foreignassistance.gov in fiscal year 2020, about 40% was spent by the U.S. government to buy goods and pay salaries. Another 20% was administered by U.S.-based firms and nonprofits. A little more than 30% went to the so on and so forth. Okay, so let me explain how this works. I want you to think about this geographically. So picture Washington, D.C. If you've never been there, there's something that always hits me when I go to Washington, D.C. My first time I ever went was in, I think it was 08. It was in that terrible recession, the 08 recession. And you remember what the 08 recession was like if you're old enough, where everything was closing. Strip malls that had normally been full were empty. It was a weird, really, really terrible economic time where no matter where you went, things were rough. You could tell things were rough financially. I had to go back there because I was running for Congress, and I'd never been to Washington, D.C. I went back to Washington, D.C., and I was floored / disgusted by how brand spanking new everything was, with brand spanking new buildings being thrown up everywhere there was a square inch. You could tell as the rest of the country suffered, Washington, D.C. was dripping with money. There's just money everywhere. What, Chris? Chris said, isn't their crime rate really high? Yeah, I'll get to that story in a moment. Yes, their crime rate is extremely high, but unbelievable amounts of money. And you walk in, and if you're aware at all of what's going on, you're just grossed out because you know that's your own money. That's taxpayer money. So back to this USAID foreign aid thing. I want you to think about Washington, D.C. geographically. Just think about it like a dot on a piece of paper. Now, they say USAID is about foreign spending, right? Oh, we need all this money to cure AIDS in South Africa. You need all, we're told this over and over again. But do yourself a favor, do a little citizen journalism. You don't have to, but you can just picture this. Go look at some of the largest recipients of U.S. aid funding. Look up their buildings in Washington, D.C. What happens is, let's say there are 10 of them. This is just for the sake of our argument to understand it. There are 10 of these groups. Well, these groups receive millions and millions, really, frankly, billions of dollars from the federal government. They get this money through lobbying and corruption. They'll hire this congresswoman's cousin, and you understand how all this works. Well, these 10 entities, they put up these gigantic, beautiful office buildings in Washington, D.C. That's where they handle their lobbying. That's where they handle the money laundering. And the money goes from Washington, D.C. into one of the big complexes in D.C. And, of course, it goes there. And they're told, everyone says, well, no. This is just a pass-through building we have here. We're going to send this money to Ukraine as soon as you send it to me. Just send us all the money, and then we'll disperse it to buy contraceptives for the Taliban. You just send us the money. But just like everything else in Washington, D.C., it's not a pass-through at all. You send them $100 to that D.C. building thinking at least 99 of that 100 is going to go to cure AIDS in South Africa. But the truth is that building, with generous salaries and other perks, they absorb all that money and they disperse maybe a dollar over to Africa. And when you threaten to cut off funding, they start screaming, what about the African babies? Ah! But really, it's just a gigantic slush fund is exactly how it works. That's how Washington, D.C. corruption works. And remember, USAID is just the hot thing in the news. Trump came out earlier today and talked about auditing the IRS, talking about auditing the Pentagon. USAID is the tip, as I told you. It's just the tip. This gets worse from here. You think an audit of $50 billion U.S. aid is bad? Wait till they get to the United States military. It's not an accident. The Pentagon has failed audits several years running. They fail these audits because, well, the system I just laid out takes place there too. You have these entities that hoover up the money, keep most of it for themselves, distribute some to friends, family members, and then a pittance actually gets to where it's supposed to go. It's a very, very, very ugly system. And we're watching as it's all laid bare in front of us right now. Dear Jesse, why do smoke alarm batteries always die at 3 a.m.? They don't. It's just that's the only time they make an impact on you. Everyone says that. I've said it before myself. Why is it always in the middle of the night? It's not always in the middle of the night. I've changed a million smoke batteries during the day. But it's the middle of the night that it becomes a nightmarish hell. Because you wake up and it's beeping, and then you have to sit there and make that decision. You're trying to stay asleep, and you're trying to decide, am I going to be able to sleep through this? Can I sleep through it? That was one beep. Is it going to beep again? What if it takes a long time to beep again? Maybe I'll be back asleep. I bet I can tough this out. And then you lay there for 20, 30 minutes. Then you start freaking yourself out. Then it does beep again. Now you're laying there all warm and snugly under the covers. But you know at this point in time, you must get up. You must get up. You're going to have to go to the garage. You're going to have to grab a ladder or grab a chair to stand on. You're going to have to go fishing for batteries. You hope you have the batteries. Plus, you probably have those godforsaken smoke detectors. I know I do in my house. I need to probably update those. The garbage ones where the second you take the battery out, it starts going crazy. And then the ones I have in my house, does it sound like I've been through this before? The ones I have in my house. Now, remember, this is the middle of the night. You're freaking exhausted. You just want to go back to sleep. The ones I have, when you put the battery in, that square, 12-volt batteries, you put that in, the second you slide that battery slot back into it, it goes, beep!
this super, super long. And of course, you're right beside it. Your face is right by it. So now your eardrums are blown out. And in my house, to make this even worse, I assume this is common. Every firefighter listening is going to start screaming at me right now. That's fine. You can email me your hate, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. In my house, maybe they all work like this, the smoke alarms, they communicate with each other. So if mine goes off in the bedroom, that was the last one we had to do, of course, middle of the night, as soon as that beep starts cooking off, it communicates to all the others, and the entire house is going crazy. Now the boys are all awake. Fred is awake. Not that he's good for anything at all. It is a complete and utter disaster. But it happens during the day. We just don't remember that. All right. Somebody wants to know about seeking out these positions of power the communists seem to do. Why did I stop watching the NFL? Some lady wants to know if I do anything for OB for Valentine's Day. Somebody's happy Trump won the 2020 election. All that and so much more still to come on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Speaking of Fred, he may not be any help when we're changing out the smoke alarms, but at least he's not having his digestive problems in the house anymore. Fred, surprise, surprise, has a nervous stomach, and he used to have problems every time he ate anything. And then you throw in the boys, they're always giving him table scraps. No matter how much I yell, that's where Rough Greens comes in. The all-natural nutritional supplement at Rough Greens. You sprinkle it on your dog's food. It has probiotics in it and omega oils and antioxidants and vitamins. The things your dog is not getting from dog food. That dog food is dead. You hear me? It's brown because it's dead. Give them a free Jumpstart trial bag. 833-33-MY-DOG. Just let your dog try it. You'll see physical differences in your dog. It's been amazing. It fixed Fred's gut. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, a wonderful Friday. Remember, we're still here. We're live. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I do want to address something that happened. I was going to kind of let it go. I wasn't going to talk about it on the show, but I think it's important enough that I just changed my mind and I'm going to bring it up. There was a guy, I'm not going to go into the details of it, but Elon Musk, obviously, he has a bunch of young hotshot computer nerds. They're the ones doing all these audits. They're the ones doing all these Doge things, finding all the corruption stuff. Well, one of them resigned. Well, woke up this morning, saw the news, the guy had resigned. Wait, what? Why? I'm not going to say his nickname, Chris. I'm not going to say it. Definitely not going to say it on the radio. But it turns out the Wall Street Journal had hired a reporter who, she digs up dirt on people on the right. Don't get me wrong. She's a communist. Digs up dirt for people on the right. Dug up some old social media posts this guy had put up where he was dogging on Indians, people from India, India this. And he had a bunch of, you know, racist things to say about people in India. Not stuff that you'd really want to say, but he had some things to say when he was younger. He resigns because of the scandal. Elon Musk starts to get some pushback for this. In fact, the right, maybe you even participated in it, started to speak up and speak out and say, no, no, absolutely not. Now, let's pause for a moment. Why would the right step up and defend this? Because you don't want to be making comments like that really ever. But why step up and defend it? Well, it's just like we used to talk about during the St. George Floyd protests. Even if you are the most, if you're the biggest Confederate hater in the world, they're all Nazis, which is ridiculous. But even if that's what you are, you should still figure out why you need to defend that Robert E. Lee statue with all of your might. And the reason is not that you love Robert E. Lee. The reason is, although I do, but the reason is not that you love Robert E. Lee. The reason you defend the Robert E. Lee statue is you understand why the communists want to tear it down, what the motivation actually is. They don't want to tear down that statue of Nathan Bedford Forrest because he was a horrible racist who hated black people and pretty much started the KKK. Democrats, communists don't care about that at all. They started the KKK. They don't care about that. They want to tear down that statue because they're trying to destroy the history of the country the same way communists have always done. Stalin renamed the roads, renamed entire cities. Mao did all this. This is what communists do. Tear apart your history so they can write your future for you. That's why you defend the statue of Robert E. Lee no matter what. Back to this guy who got fired. It's not that you defend him because you love that he was dogging on Indians. You defend him because you recognize what the communists are doing. They want this stuff to stop. They want the exposure of their corrupt deeds to stop. They hired a hatchet man, a hatchet woman, I should say. They hired a hatchet woman to dig up dirt on one of these guys, to get him fired, to smear the whole thing. You have to be sharp enough to recognize that's what's happening. And then, and this is what the GOP has always lacked, then you have to be strong enough to say, you know what? No, actually. No, he's not resigning. No, we're not firing him. I understand what you're doing, communist, and I will not allow you to succeed with it. So Elon Musk, because you were saying these things to him, and now because of social media, we have access to people who have power, because so many people were saying these things to him, he woke up this morning, kind of had a change of heart. He said, hey, should I hire this guy back? And then, God love him, J.D. Vance, Vice President of the United States of America, publicly comes out. Now, J.D. Vance's wife is Indian. J.D. Vance publicly comes out and says, what? We can't do this anymore, this ridiculous canceling people stuff. Dude was a young guy, made some mistakes, said some dumb things online. Forgive and let the man go back to work. Then Trump gets asked about it in a press conference today. I think it was Peter Ducey. I don't have the audio, but I think it was Peter Ducey got up and asked him. And he said, hey, Trump, J.D. Vance came out and said he wants this guy rehired. What do you think? And Trump said, yeah, I agree. Hire the guy back. Now, this may seem like an unimportant story, and there's a reason I didn't open up the show with it. We're at the end of hour two. It may seem like an unimportant story, and this one individual, it is relatively unimportant on a large enough scale. But the mindset change of the right is super important. It is everything. Communist tactics are only effective if you allow them to be effective. The reason the communists have been running these ops on the right forever is because it works. It's because it has always worked. You remember Low T James Lankford, Naked Ken Doll James Lankford? In the wake of the St. George Floyd protests, you had all these paid protests all around the country with the animals in the streets. And then they started changing the name of military bases. And of course, anyone, I know you recognized it, anyone with eyes could see what was happening. Clearly a communist op was happening. But of course, Low T Lankford runs to the news. Well, I mean, I really do think we should change the name of military bases. Let's just give the mouse a little cookie. I'm sure he won't ask for a glass of milk afterwards. That kind of mentality has killed us for years. And the communists have thrived on that mentality forever. Hey, let's expose some ugly tweet this guy put out when he was 15 years old. Then we'll stop him from hurting us. And the right, they're so stupid. They'll go for it every time. Let's use their values against them. But today, what we're seeing now is a mindset change where the right has finally woken up. And this is not all credit to Trump and Vance and these guys. It sure helps having them lead, but this is you too. This is I'm seeing it everywhere with just normal people. The right has finally woken up and started recognizing why the communist is doing what he's doing. And as soon as we started recognizing that, we started getting strong enough to say, you know what? No, up yours. No, you cannot have this scalp. We deny it to you. It's important and it's wonderful. All right, let's talk about seeking out positions of power. As I said, I was going to. Before we do that, let's save a baby's life. What Preborn does is they go set up their clinics. They have a network of clinics. They set them up in the highest abortion areas in the country. They don't take it easy. They're right there in the heart of all of it. Buffalo, Baltimore, all these places. And these young women who are about to abort their babies, Preborn gives them free ultrasounds. Free. And once a mother hears a heartbeat, she chooses life almost every single time. $28 is what that ultrasound costs. You know, Preborn and you're saving 200 lives a day. You realize that? It's tax deductible. Go give. Save a life. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We have an hour left. Hang on.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.